According to a survey commissioned by, of all things, Dunkin' Donuts, most moms do not want room service or a special meal for Mother's Day. What they want, according to the survey, is solitude. Nearly 70% of the more than 1,500 women surveyed said they would rather sleep or have uninterrupted time to themselves than get breakfast in bed on their special day. And nearly 80% of today's mothers said they were torn equally between spending an extra hour with the children or having that time to themselves. And here's some unpleasant news for the guys. If they were given an extra hour in their day, less than 20% of mothers said they would choose to spend their time with their spouse, according to the survey. I suppose the conclusion of Dunkin' Donuts would be that a dozen donuts would be just as good as a dozen flowers when it comes to Mother's Day, as long as mom could eat them by herself in peace and quiet. The mother, Billy Graham, once said concerning Mother's Day that she didn't want to be congratulated for her. She wanted Mother's Day to be a time of soul-searching in her life that she might gain new awareness of the role that God had given her. Let's consider the qualities of a woman and mother who's commended in the Bible for her faith. We've already read, in summary, the text in our responsive reading, but we'll go back to that as time goes on. So if you want to take a Bible in the pew or take your own Bible, please keep handy Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. In the Pew Bible, that would be pages 1107 and 49. What we will discern in our text this morning is that God often uses a mother to shape a child for his purposes. God often uses a mother to shape a child for his purposes. Now we have 7 points this morning, all having the letter P, and if you look at the cartoon on the back, you'll see a direct a direct relationship between the cartoon and what you're about to hear this morning. But 7 actions taken by the mother Moses. Number one, she produced a son. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. We're told in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, that the man of the house of Levi is Amram, and the Levite woman is named Jochebed. From their tribe of Levi would come the priests and those who would carry out the duties of the tabernacle and later the duties of the temple. Jochebed and Amram were very dedicated. They were faithful followers of God. Now, what we've got to understand in this context in Exodus chapter 2 is that it was a big risk for a woman to get married during these times. As it has been since the beginning, couples marry, and guess what? It's not long before children are being born. And the birth of a child is usually a happy time. But that would not be the case for Amram and Jochebed at this point in the history of their people. For you see, the people of Israel were currently enslaved by the Egyptians. And during the period of their captivity, the numbers of the people of Israel had grown significantly. And their strength in numbers became a concern to the ruler of Egypt, who feared that if his nation were attacked by the armies of another country, the people of Israel would join Egypt's enemies in seeking the defeat of Egypt. And so the Pharaoh of Egypt issued an order to the entire nation concerning the people of Israel, which was especially cruel and very cynical. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, this is the edict, the decree of the Pharaoh. You must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live. Jochebed knew that a pregnancy would doom their child if it were a male. But we can't always limit our lives by being afraid of what might happen in the future. You see, many people never experience the power of God at work in their lives because they are worried about what might happen if they turn the control of their lives over to God. And so in their minds, they play it safe. They maintain control. They call the shots. And they hold God at arm's length. In other words, they've made the decision to stay inside their comfort zone. Well, as it turns out, God blessed Amram and Jochebed with a baby boy. Now, in a Jewish home, there was great rejoicing when a male child was born, but this event was dampened. It was tempered by the threat of Pharaoh's decree that now is hanging very heavily over their home. What would we do in these circumstances? How would we deal with the possibility of having our newborn son thrown into the river to be drowned? Well, we gain an insight into the character of this mother and the steps that she will take when we understand that her name means the glory of Jehovah or the glory of God. This woman, named after the glory of God, produced a son. Secondly, she perceived Moses from God's perspective. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, the writer here tells us, they saw that the child was beautiful. Otherwise translated, this was no ordinary child. When she saw that he was beautiful, when she saw that he was healthy, she hid him for 3 months. Stephen, in his speech to the Sanhedrin, the religious authorities in Acts 7, noted that Moses was fair in the sight of God. And Jochebed saw something unique about this child to whom she had just given birth. Now, most parents will think that their newborns are special. Isn't that right? I see the grace have gone to the nursery. Okay. New children are special, especially to their parents. Children are wonderful, and God's perspective on this matter is that Moses was no ordinary child. And Jochebed had perceived Moses from God's perspective. You see, God's favor was upon Moses. And many of us are familiar with the rest of the story as it plays out in the decades to come. Yes, Moses was a special individual, born into God's time for God's purposes, born into this family for a very special reason. God's favor was upon Moses. Now, the Hebrew word used to describe Moses in the book of Exodus is the word beautiful, and it's the same word that's translated good in Genesis 1, where God is responding to his creation. God looked upon his creation, he said, "This is good." God looked upon Moses and said, "This is good as well." You see, God viewed his creation, especially humanity, as good. And even after the fall of mankind into sin, God considered his creation as worth saving, as worth bringing back to himself. Well, when Moses was born, the people of Israel were in bondage. And in the same manner that God saw that his creation was beautiful and worth redeeming, Jochebed saw that Moses was beautiful and would be connected to God's bringing deliverance and freedom to the people of Israel. Jochebed remembered God's promise to release his people from bondage, and she somehow perceived that her son would be used by God in an extraordinary way. Now, it's interesting that the details of this account are found in the book of what? Book of Exodus, whose author is Moses. How would Moses have known that he was a beautiful baby? Having been hidden for the first 3 months of his life, who else but his immediate family would have seen him? So who told Moses that he was a fine child? Anyone care to guess? Addison? His mom. His mom. "Moses, you're a fine child. I recall when you were born, we hid you for 3 months. You were beautiful. We knew what might happen to you, but we had this sense that in God's plan, you were a very special boy. Moses, you were beautiful. Thanks, Mom. Is there any other response that a godly mother could have had? You see, a godly mother sees the best in her children. And as they grow, a godly mother looks beyond who they are. She glimpses into the future to see who they will or may become. A godly mother supports her child, defends her child, encourages her child. And when a godly mother senses her child's potential, she presses that child to reach as far as possible to achieve great things for God. A godly mother sees God's best for her children. She perceived Moses from God's perspective. Thirdly, she prevailed against pressure. Hebrews 11, verse 23 tells us that she and her husband Amram, they did not fear the king's edict. Imagine for a moment that a member of your family is expecting a child. You don't know if it's going to be a girl or a boy. Now, I know in these days we can know very soon what kind of child we are going to be expecting. If it's a girl, though, the good news can be carried everywhere. It's a girl. We have a new baby. But back in Moses' day, if it's a boy, you know that the authorities will soon be paying a visit to make sure that you have thrown that infant into the Nile River. And if you failed to do this by the time they arrive, your own life will be endangered and the baby will be forcibly removed to be killed. You see, Pharaoh was determined to destroy this generation of the people of Israel. And being Pharaoh, he simply wanted results. He was the kind of leader who could say, why? Because I say so. That's why. But in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the possibility of being discovered, this mother decides to hide her son. She chose to believe God. She chose to trust in God's protection. Jochebed had a faith that prevailed against pressure. It prevailed against fear. She was not afraid of Pharaoh's decree. She trusted God to make a way for her son, and she placed her faith and trust in God for their protection. She confronted her own fear of death, saying, in effect, "We will not give in to you. We will not kill our son out of fear for our own lives. Fear of death will not control us. We put our trust in the Lord our God." You see, Jochebed knew that to die in obedience to God would be far better than trying to avoid that risk and save herself. In her willingness to lose her life for God's sake, she found her life given back to her, literally, many times over. She prevailed against the pressure to conform to Pharaoh's cruel decree. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, reminds us, do not be conformed to this world. Don't cave in to the pressure that the world presents to you. Don't yield to its oppression. Don't forsake God. Don't turn your back on Jesus Christ because the world is confronting you and getting in your face. As one paraphrase comes for Romans 12, verse 2, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. May God give us families, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, who are bold enough to prevail against the pressure to conform. You know, it's interesting to note that in our day, it is often the young people who have more of a heart for God and his business than do their parents. It's great when this younger generation chooses to live for God, but friends, it is still up to parents and grandparents to set the example in courage and godliness for those who are following behind. She prevailed against pressure. Fourthly, she protected Moses from harm. Hebrews 11:23 tells us that by faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful and healthy, she hid him for 3 months. For 3 months, she kept this newborn from public view. Now, a question that begs to be asked, how do you hide a newborn baby? In a densely populated neighborhood, how do you conceal the distinct cry of a newborn? But this mother was determined to protect her child from the harm that others would impose, because you see, mothers are like that. Mothers have protected us in many ways. They've protected us physically by minimizing our exposure to dangerous situations. They've protected us morally by teaching us right from wrong. They've protected us emotionally by shielding us from the things that they knew would hurt us. They have protected our spirits by bringing us up to love and to serve God. Friends, it's important for us to see a connection between the faith that Jochebed had and the course of action that she took. John Piper takes us down an interesting path on this issue. And John notes this. He says, notice, Moses' parents risked their lives by not killing their baby, but they did hide the baby. Now, some people's minds, immature minds with little real-life experience and out of touch with the complexities of the soul, might say this. If Moses' parents really had faith, they would have entrusted the child's care to God and just walked around the community with their new baby. That would have been real faith. How do you respond to something like that? People who say they don't trust God. They're using human ingenuity to protect their baby instead of entrusting him to God. Perhaps the best way to respond is simply to tell them to read their Bibles and read them carefully. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:23 that Moses' parents did indeed have faith and they hid their baby. Not killing the baby put their lives at risk and was a great act of faith and love. Hiding their baby was an act of human but God-given wisdom. So how should we apply this today? One way would be to say that following God's call to work with AIDS patients is an act of risk-taking faith, and wearing rubber gloves during treatments is an act of faithful wisdom. Following God's call to live in a rough neighborhood is an act of risk-taking faith. And buying deadbolts is an act of faithful wisdom. Following God's call to Guinea or Tanzania or Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan with your children is an act of risk-taking faith. And giving your children vaccinations and malaria treatments is probably an act of faithful wisdom. And so Jochebed protected Moses from harm. Not as an act based on the loving emotions of one's natural parents, and not because she couldn't bear to kill him, but an act based on faith and trust in God. She protected Moses from harm. Fifthly, she provided for her son's well-being. Verses 3 through 6 in Acts chapter 2. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set him in among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls were walking along the river bank. Seeing the basket among the reeds, she sent her slave girl to get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, a little boy, crying. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew boys." At 3 months of age, when it became evident that she could no longer conceal her son, she put together a basket of bulrush weeds and covered it with pitch so that it would float and not leak. She placed her son in the basket, placed the basket in the Nile River. Now, the river that had been meant for his death became the very means for his salvation. Why did Jochebed do what she did? Was this an act of desperate hope, or was this faith that somehow God would preserve her child as he floated down the Nile River? Did she perhaps actually have a plan? Later in our story, Moses would be discovered by Pharaoh's daughter when she came down to the Nile River to bathe. Now, I think this is a question worth asking. Was this a regularly occurring event that Moses' mother might have known about? Did Moses' mother have a reasonable expectation that Pharaoh's daughter would rescue her son when she found him among the reeds along the side of the river when she came to bathe? This mother had done all that she could do. Now, having provided a possible means for his rescue, she had to now place her son in God's care. We're familiar with the story, but maybe we have trouble all these years later, and having heard this story so many times, coming to grips with the fact that this must have been a gut-wrenching thing for this mother to do. She did everything she could, but eventually she just had to let him go. It hurt her to push that little boat out into the river, but her hope was that God would work things out. Only God could protect him now. Only God could save his life. Moses was now completely in the hands of God. She provided for her son's well-being. She did all that she could possibly do. Did she have a plan? It seems to be so. She planned for the care of Moses. Look at verses 7 and 8. Then his sister, who just happened to be nearby, right, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a woman from the Hebrews to nurse the boy for you?" Now, who could possibly qualify for a task like that on short notice? "Go," Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Miriam, the sister of Moses, and you read about her throughout the book of Exodus, she's watching over this basket as it floats along the shore of the river among the reeds. Now, Miriam, maybe like her mother, may have been a bit of a quick thinker, a clever young girl, as she immediately suggests a caregiver for the baby. Or was it her intention all along to approach Pharaoh's daughter concerning a mother among the Hebrew peoples to care for the nurture and the nourishment of the infant Moses? Was there a plan in place to approach Pharaoh's daughter? But in any case, Miriam was able to make a difference in her parents' home. This is obedience that includes with it a measure of sadness. But now we find joy coming to this household. Jochebed discovers that she can take up where she left off in caring for her 3-month-old son. And not only that, but she's getting paid to do it as well. She planned for the care of Moses. And finally, she prepared Moses for service to God. Verses 9 and 10. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." His name means, literally, to draw forth. Now we've got a new arrangement. And this new arrangement is better than what one could have ever expected. Imagine getting paid to care for your own child. And she raised him in her own home long enough to firmly establish in him his Hebrew roots, to teach him about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And while Pharaoh's daughter would later give Moses a king's education, Jochebed gave Moses a godly heritage. As the Proverbs remind us, train or start a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. She had already given her son over to God's care, and now God is returning the favor placing Moses back under her care. And when her role in raising this child is drawn to a close, this mother fades from center stage. And you know what? That's okay. God has used her to prepare her son Moses for God's purposes and the great work to which God will be calling him later in life. God often uses a mother to shape a child for his purposes. We live in the day of the strong woman. She shows up in television commercials, in advertising, on billboards, at the gym, the strong, physically built woman, equal to any task that a man can do. A strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape. But a woman of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything, it seems, but a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of fear. A strong woman won't let anything get the best of her, but a woman of strength gives the best of herself to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future. A woman of strength realizes life's mistakes can also be God's blessings. And she learns from them. A strong woman walks sure-footedly, but a woman of strength knows that God himself will catch her when she falls. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, but a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey, but a woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she will become strong. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, many chapters in the Old Testament are given to describe the life, the adventures, the activities, the conquests, the leadership of Moses, your man. But here in just a couple verses in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Exodus, penned by the man Moses himself, we're given a glimpse into those early days, the early years. And it is there that you were doing your work of preparation that would eventually bring about the deliverance of your people from a mighty nation. And Father, we benefit right down to the present day from the obedience and the faithfulness of your servant Moses. But I think we can also say we benefit from the obedience and faithfulness and trust of your servant, this mother, this woman named Jochebed. Thank you for her example. And may we all, whether woman or man, older or younger, learn from her example of simple trust, faith, and obedience. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.